KPIX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The House working on the weekend with a vote later on a massive $95 billion foreign aid package. It includes funding for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson possibly facing major repercussions for scheduling the votes, as ABC political director Rick Klein.
He knows the only way they're going to pass is if you get a bunch of Democrats to support them. And there are Republicans saying, we're going to take you out of your job if you do that. So he decided, look, there's no good win situation. Let's put it forward. Let the House work its will. And you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene and a handful of Republicans saying, we're going to try to take you down as a result.
The Senate, meanwhile, voting overnight to approve an extension of a controversial foreign surveillance program. Employees at Volkswagen at a factory in Tennessee voting to join the United Auto Workers, a first outside of Detroit, 73% of workers voting in favor of unionizing. The criminal trial brought against former President Trump moving forward. A jury's been seated. Opening statement set for Monday. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court weighing a couple of important cases this week. More from ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
Monday, the Supreme Court hears arguments in a big case about homelessness, whether cities can fine or jail someone who's experiencing homelessness. On Wednesday, another big abortion case, whether some of those abortion bans are going too far, cutting against a federal law that says that hospitals have to provide emergency care when a patient has a life-threatening situation. So look, if we needed any reminder that the Supreme Court is right in the middle of this election. I mean, these are the kinds of issues that voters are talking about.
Family, friends, and gun safety advocates gathered in Denver to mark the 25th anniversary of the Columbine High School shooting. 12 students and a teacher were killed when two students opened fire in the school on April 20th, 1999. Since that massacre, 415 people have been killed in U.S. school shootings. Wildlife officials in North Carolina say no charges will be filed after several people were caught on camera pulling black bear cubs out of a tree and taking selfies with them. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spring is in the air. Hope springs eternal. Spring fever, baby!
What are you doing?
This is radio. We like cliches to hammer home a point.
Funny you mention home. Did you know spring is the best time to find a new home?
Time to spring into action.
Or just be smart and contact the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Listings are updated every 15 minutes, rapid response, going above the ordinary, and getting you what you want. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by First Weber. That's no cliche.
I'm no spring chicken, so I'll check out movetomadison.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Most political boundaries tied to the 2020 census have been in place for a while, but as Mike Moan reports, a national project on map fairness for indigenous populations is still working for changes.
When states did their redistricting a few years ago, the Native American Rights Fund launched its Fair Districting in Indian County effort. It provides resources and legal representation to tribal communities worried about newly drawn districts that could suppress their voting power. NARF staff attorney Michael Carter says there's been a lot of activity.
Just from this redistricting cycle alone, tribes have stepped up and decided that what the state and county governments are doing is not right.
He points to several cases with various levels of success, including two high-profile ones from North Dakota. One resulted in a new legislative map for the 2024 election. Carter says a section of the Voting Rights Act is often at the center of these cases, with tribal advocates arguing some state and local governments aren't honoring language that prohibits voter discrimination. He says there's a separate movement out there trying to reverse the progress.
The national implications are there just from the attention it's getting from all the other states that are filing these briefs in the appeals courts seeking to undo the wins that Native voters got in the lower courts.
A group of Republican attorneys general contends that private groups and individuals don't have the right to file lawsuits under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. But Carter says there's a separate provision that does provide that opportunity. NARF and its partner organization notes their movement has ushered in a new generation of Native American lawyers to fight for civil rights in the years to come. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny skies today. We'll have highs in the upper 40s. For tonight, frosty and clear with a low around 30. For Sunday, sunshine, a high near 60. Sunday night, clear skies, mid-30s. Chance of rain showers for Monday, breezy, 64.
Right now, it's 37.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What up, y'all? It's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. I got my girl, Keena, in the house as my co-host. She's just going to be my co-host moving forward. We're just going to call it Black Conversion Show with Brandi and Keena.
Hey, okay? I like that.
Period. So that's what it is. Thank you for tuning in today. It is Thursday. It's raining out. There's tornadoes in Wisconsin in February. There's some different stuff happening around here. We had hail. There's two confirmed tornadoes. I don't know the cities. Nate just told me, and I'm just saying it because I want to sound like I prepared to tell you about some news or something, and I did not. Okay, but it's okay. We're here to celebrate February, and February is the what? Black History. And it don't get no blacker than this. Okay. Me and her, we black yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So today our show is going to be about Black History and stuff in Black news, random thoughts, random everything, because I didn't prepare and I'm super tired today. I want to give a shout out. I want to start my today in Black History by shouting out Urban Triage staff. Our staff has been going through a lot of, in Urban Triage, for folks who are listening that you're like, what is Urban Triage? Urban Triage is a nonprofit organization which I founded in 2015. I'm the CEO of this organization. We do a lot of work with homelessness, youth work, housing advocacy, all kinds of stuff. I want to give them a shout out because we've been in a huge transition from the end of 2023. We ended our contract with Dane County core program rental assistance. I think we distributed over $20 million to Dane County residents, and it has ended, which means that we had to shift, and there's a lot of training and just readjustments and repositioning staff have to make. And I just want to thank them for being in the work and sticking it through, because a lot of people don't make it through transitions. And in Black History, at a Black-led organization where 90% of the folks is Black and it's all Black women led, I think that's an accomplishment mm-hmm. in itself. Mm-hmm. And I also just want to just acknowledge sometimes we don't think about what we've accomplished in Black History as folks who are doing business like you. You run multiple organizations. You do a lot of work in our community, Keena. And I just want to start with acknowledging us, because who better to acknowledge us but us? So I'm going to give the flow to you so you can acknowledge you, okay, for Black History, God darn it.
Well, then what Rougie Wellness does, Rougie Wellness is a wellness wellness company that I founded back in 2018. And I like to tell people that I started Rougie Wellness in 2018 because, you know, Savage came out in 2020 by Beyonce and Meg.
Right.
And so they said Savage, Classy, Bougie, Ratchet.
Right.
But Rougie was before that. So, you know, like, I just want to make that known. Rougie stands for Ratchet, Bougie. It's the and. It's the not being put into a box, as we are complex, multifaceted, not meant to be tamed or contained in any type of way, minimized or categorized in any way that limits or stifles or combines or inhibits or oppresses us.
Yes.
And so, you know, I do have the belief, I have the firm belief that when Black people, specifically Black women, when we win, everybody wins.
It's by law.
Yes.
You can't help but to win when we win.
When we win, everybody wins.
Yes.
You know, so we take care of us, everybody will be taken care of.
I love it. So just shout out to you and what you've accomplished. And that's just a tip of the iceberg of what you've accomplished, and also a tip of an iceberg for what Urban Triage accomplished. So again, the work keeps working, and I just want to shout out everyone, and shout out to my board members who also make everything possible. And I want to shout out one particular board member today, Dana Pelabon. If you don't know who she is, you better get to know her. She sits on the board for Urban Triage. She does amazing work, and let's just say her contribution to our organization cannot be articulated with words. The woman's pretty dope, okay? She's came in and she whipped us all into shape. So if you guys don't know, Dana announced her run for Dane County County Executive yesterday. And she's a Black woman. And it's my expectation that in the history of, doing the work, that y'all gonna be out here voting for Dana, because she is not only... not just because she's Black, but you should vote for her because she's Black. But there's also a Black man running, but you need to choose the Black woman, okay? I'm a little biased, okay? So shout out to you, Wes, but we're going to ride behind Dana. And the reason I'm choosing Dana to endorse, ride with, donate, go knock on doors with, is because she not only has the commitment to our community, she has the history of committing to our community. I don't know. You guys probably should look up what county execs are in charge of, right? They're like the executive of our county, which means they have to manage things, manage budgets, manage people, manage, they're part of the sheriff, Dane County Sheriff that comes out of the Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services. And what better person to run, manage, encourage change, innovate, and do the work but a Black woman who's been in the work? So she's been in housing. She sits on our Dane County Board of Supervisors. She's currently the ED at Rape Crisis Center. She's been EDs of other nonprofit organizations. Every organization she's worked for, she's transformed. So I'm going to shout out to you, Dana, for making history in February of 2024. I don't know, but I'm just going to go on.
Congratulations out. In advance.
Yeah, in advance. And just acknowledge that I don't remember any other Black women running for this. Unless I missed it, I forgot to Google it, but I'm just going to say she's setting a precedence, right? So y'all get out there, y'all support her, and don't get caught up in the hype. This is such an important position in our government. I would say it's even more powerful than our mayor, and not because the mayor isn't powerful, in her own right, she is. However, we're not talking about just the city of Madison. We're talking about Verona. We're talking about Sun Prairie. We're talking about DeForest. We're talking about Middleton, all these cities that's under Dane County, right? And we're also talking about Child Protective Services and Department of Human Services, which is one of the most racist entrenched systems that Dane County can, along with the criminal, not the most, it's one of the most, because every single system I've come in contact with, whether it's Dane County Human Services, Child Protective Services, criminal justice system, welfare system, ABERC system, jobs, and they all racist, okay? But we still do work there. And the way that we challenge some of the systemic stuff that's occurring inside these systems is by putting people in positions that's not just right or left, but someone who knows how to maneuver, navigate, and collaborate across institutions, government, agencies, right? And I think she has that. And that's what I'm so excited about, because it's not just her Blackness, but her ability to collaborate and build relationships and networks. And that's what it's about. A lot of times in the work, I always wanted to be Black this and Black that, and I'm still Black this and Black that. And you have to be able to reach over, build relationship and collaboration. So shout out to you, Dana. And oh, can we also mention, I'm really riding her hard, Dana, because that's my girl. But okay, so I'm also going to mention that she's also does like art, right? So have you seen any plays that's, I don't even know all her plays, but she directs, produces, and acts. So she's really a huge part of our art community in Madison, which is super, super important, making history. Because how many Black folks in Madison, that's part of our, I know T-Banks, they do art and theater. And I know Dana. I don't know any other Black folks in theater. Do you?
I was in theater.
You were? I'm talking about right now.
Right now.
Producing.
Not like, I'm trying to think.
Or things like that.
Let me think, because I need to give their credit. Okay, The Classroom Ain't Enough. Have you heard of that?
No.
The Classroom Ain't Enough is amazing. And that's produced here.
By who?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay, we got to Google, but we still talking about Black history locally. Yeah. And our folks listening on live on Facebook, if you know some Black history, local Black history, drop it in there, because we don't know what we know, don't know until we know. Amen?
That's right. It's produced, it's at the Broome Street Theater.
Mm. So repping just Broome Street Theater. Yeah, okay, she's gonna look all that up. So until then, let's take a moment in Black History. Today is February what? What's today? February 8th. Thank God they got the time and date right there, because okay. I was like, I don't even know what day is. But today, guess who was born? W.E.D. Du Bois. And if you don't know who W.D. Du Bois, I think he was born in 1909. So we're just going to represent him. Black man who founded the NAACP. Our NAACP ain't what it used to be, right? Now we have local chapters across the country. Most of them ran by white people. Not that white people can't support Black initiatives and Black causes, but I'm going to tell you this, they darn sure shouldn't be running an organization called the Negro Association.
Okay. Proudly running it.
Because if you look at Madison, NAACP, their whole board is white. I mean, white out like the white when the snow white, okay?
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the whole board. So shout out to W.E.D. Du Bois, who was also not only the founder of NAACP, he also is a prolific writer and author. He wrote a lot about, an historian, wrote a lot about, you know, discrimination, what was going on. So y'all should look him up. He took some controversial stands on some things in the Black Reconstruction in America that he wrote. Some Black people didn't agree with him, but we're going to honor him today in the history, in Black History Month. And who's the writer of the play?
Charles Payne.
Charles Payne. Shout out to you in Black History.
And writer, poet, performer.
Amen.
Yes.
Perfect. And he's local. So if y'all know any other Black folks, we want to give shout outs to them. So what else can we talk about today in Black History? We have like 1 minute before we have to take a break, a quick break.
Okay. So something else to talk about in Black History.
Yeah,
we can talk about
in Black History.
We could talk about like some of the, have you heard of that book where the I think it's called My Black Year?
No.
So she came and did the commencement speech at my son's high school graduation. Uh-huh. And basically she challenged herself to only buy Black for that whole year. Mm. Like no matter what, any of her dollars had to be spent and circulated in the Black community.
Did that work?
It did. And she learned a lot. And then in the experiment, she also learned about certain gaps that was in the system because, you know, like I know somebody was talking to me yesterday.
Wasn't Killer Mike just talking about that too on his Netflix?
I don't know.
Series?
I mean, I didn't watch it, so that's why I don't know. But
me
maybe.
Either. I didn't
watch Dang, it. We're going to have to watch that. Okay.
But we did hear about it. So, okay, that's dope. And also, let's just recognize today in Black history, the formation of the United Nations, which is Black Americans, including W.E. Du Bois and Ralph Bouchet and Walter White. They organized the first Black Nation conference and summit, and just bringing Black people together across the country. And that was pretty dope. So we're just going to honor them today in Black history. And I also want to honor just all the Black people out here doing the work in the community that goes unseen and unheard today. Because oftentimes we recognize when we're talking about Black history, the folks who have the accomplishments that are big in our front, but there's so many accomplishments and things we do in the background that enable others to take off. Everything we do and accomplish, even myself, I'm standing on the shoulders of my ancestors. Mm-hmm. So to all my Black people today, keep doing you, keep pushing, keep claiming your goal and your trajectory. You are Black history in the making. We're going to go ahead and take a break. Again, you're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandy and Kina. Okay, we'll be back in a sec. Like the winds that crash in the ocean.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lovell Show.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
The John and Gordy Show.
Robin Voss is out there again, you know, getting angry about making pot legal.
Hang on a second, John. I have to pick up this glass ornament. I got it. That scares the bejesus out of most of the members of my caucus, because we know the wrong thing for Wisconsin is to legalize recreational marijuana.
Oh, my God.
Weekday mornings 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Back on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Convergence Show with my co-host Gina. We are in a house. This is February. You know, February. And why we couldn't have an easier month like July or June? February. I could barely make an R, like pronunciation of most words ended in R. So, but this is the month of February. Say February. How you say it?
I say February. I skip that R.
I
go right to February.
Nate, how you say February?
February.
He skips February. The R just like me. I skip the R.
Okay, well, February.
I think it's February, like what you're saying.
February, okay.
But I don't. You know how I had to be taught to put the R in library?
Oh,
because
okay.
I used to skip the R in that, too.
Library. Okay, anyway, I got distracted. It's Black History Month, okay, y'all? So today we in the studio, we just talking about things in Black news and giving congratulations to folks in Black history. But something that came up on our radar in Black news is the 200 bodies that were found in Mississippi in unmarked graves at the Hinds County Cemetery behind a prison. And I don't know if y'all, oh my goodness, I feel like I need to sneeze. Oh, this sucks. Okay, but I don't know what y'all thinking, but when you find 200 bodies in Mississippi, I'm assuming those are bodies that were, what? Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you
think? Executed at the hands of the law.
You sure it was the law? Oh, well, I guess if it's behind a prison, all the
because the police would have to know about it.
Yeah, that's
in order to conceal it.
But what do you think? So like, so we all scratching our heads in disbelief. What do you think's going to happen?
To give more context, they said that this was to give more context, not only were these bodies in unmarked graves, they were not even buried deep enough. And they were not even embalmed. They were not in they were like in a plastic bag, okay? To the point where the smell was coming up. Somebody was complaining about the smell. And so then when people came to investigate the smell, this is how the public was found, how the public found out about it. But in the story that I was looking at yesterday, there was a mom who had been looking for her son.
Oh, my God.
And she called him in missing.
Uh-huh.
The police said, we don't know. They gaslit and took her around the corner and all the way around the block, telling her that they didn't know what was going on, didn't know what was going on. But the whole time,
that baby was
police
dead.
Officers hit him with the car. the day that she reported him missing. So they already knew what his whereabouts were. And then they buried him.
Oh, my God.
8 months later, she found out where he was at and about this. And the graves were, some were not even marked.
That is
nuts. And the ones that was marked only had a metal post with the number on it. And the all these bodies, these 200-something bodies, nobody knew about. And you know what Mississippi, the statistics of Mississippi, the biggest Black population and the most racist in the country.
Yeah, I think everyone should leave Mississippi. No, not much different from Wisconsin, you know what I'm saying? I think they got more Black people there, so disproportionately they murder and kill more Black people. And it also reminds me of the Monona police, right? Like how we always have these incidents in Monona, which is 5 minutes away from us, where Black people are coming up dead, falling, running from them, being in the lake, or coming up missing, and no one knows where they're at, right? And remember that Black dude, I cannot remember his name. Oh, my God, please forgive me to the listeners. I cannot remember his name. But just like last year, I think it was, he came up missing, and then they just found his body recently in an abandoned building.
What?
Right. And he was running from them in Monona, and he disappeared. And they were like, oh, we don't know what happened to him. And then his body just turns up in some building. So this is a perfect example, too, of like how we like to hold civilians accountable for, you know, breaking the law. But there is no law to govern the law, per se. Right. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be consequences for this prison or the folks that, you know, killed all these folks. And whether they were innocent or not, they didn't deserve to die. Right. Innocence or not innocence doesn't you know, get you a death sentence. So that's just screwed up. Also in the news, we have this black family. So positively speaking, the event wasn't positive, but it was a positive outcome because as we're saying and speaking, there's often no consequences for the systems and people who represent the system. So in positive news, there was a $1.9 million settlement to a woman and her family in Colorado. I think it was Aurora, Colorado. $1.9 million, they pulled her over with her children in the car and surrounded the car, pulled out guns with her and her children, and said they thought the vehicle was stolen.
That happened to me before.
Girl, that happened to me too. What happened?
I was pregnant with Caleb.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And they had me at gunpoint right over on East Wash by East High School.
What was their reason?
They said the car matched the description.
It's always the car matches the description, isn't it?
And I had nothing but kids in the car with me.
That's crazy.
And my friend. But I had three children in the back in the car, and I'm pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant. Mm. And they held the guns up to me, and all they said was, I don't even know if they actually said they were sorry.
No.
They just said, you can go now.
You can go now, right. Like, in such an inhumane experience. And the thing that cracks me up is, when I talk to white people, they don't have those kind of experiences with cops. And they don't have the kind of experiences with cops because they actually see them as other human beings, right? So I had a very similar experience, except for I got pulled over in Park Street, and I had to be like, 20. I was young, like 21, 22. I was in my, I was so excited. I had the little silver Ford Explorer, and I was like, ooh, I got a Ford Explorer. Coming down Badger Road, about to turn the left on Park Street, and all of a sudden, about 10 or 15 police officers swerved my car and, you know, all approached my car with guns drawn, and I literally peed on myself. Literally. Like, what? But this is also before I understood what racism was. And it was also before I understood, like, this was a racist act, you know, because even just because people are black don't mean they have the education or analysis about how systems treat you.
Right.
Because I've talked to black people who've been raised around white folks or majority white people. And I say to them, you have been treated in racist ways. And they're like, no, I haven't. And then you help them build analysis and they go back in hindsight. And it's like, oh, my God. Even my foster parent was racist.
Yeah, they
are and was. But this is a normal experience. Nate, have you ever been pulled over with guns drawn at you?
I have not, no.
And ain't it weird? Like, I never knew that about you. We bring it up and I say that happened to me. That's the probability of two people sitting in a room and having guns pulled out. I bet you that, I'm not even going to quantify it, but I bet you it increases a thousandfold when there's black people in the room. So the system is obviously, as we know, something's wrong with it. But also, you know, recently in the news was the two babies that died in some prairie, right? And we know that police stood around and watched them babies die. And if those babies were a white baby or a dog, for that matter, a Labrador, a Great Dane, they would have got that dog out that water. And it's just a telltale sign of how, again, how systems work. So today, you know, you're listening to Brandy and Kina on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. And sadly, sometimes our black history looks like the history of white people killing, murdering, just prosecuting black people. And it's sad that we even have to, that's even a thing. And I even brought that up. But bringing up the Mississippi and the 200 bodies, I couldn't help but to connect the dots in that. So, but when we get back, what I also want to talk about is black people in the Grammys. Okay, why did Jay-Z snap like that? Why did he call them out like that? Now, that was entertaining. And in Black History Month, that was perfect timing.
Yeah.
Perfect timing. I just, you know, I don't care what people say about Jay-Z. You know, he is capitalistic. But if I had $1 billion, I'd probably be capitalistic too. Matter of fact, I don't even have $1 billion. My bank account looks like 3,000 and I'm capitalistic, okay? But we're going to talk about Jay-Z when we come back and Killer Mike, who was arrested at the Grammys. What a freaking week for black people in black history, okay? So again, you're listening to Brandy and Kina on the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The House working on the weekend with a vote later on a massive $95 billion foreign aid package. It includes funding for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson possibly facing major repercussions for scheduling the votes, as ABC political director Rick Klein.
He knows the only way they're going to pass is if you get a bunch of Democrats to support them. And there are Republicans saying, we're going to take you out of your job if you do that. So he decided, look, there's no good win situation. So let's put it forward. Let the House work its will. And you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene and a handful of Republicans saying, we are going to try to take you down as a result.
The Senate, meanwhile, voting overnight to approve an extension of a controversial foreign surveillance program. Employees at Volkswagen at a factory in Tennessee voting to join the United Auto Workers, a first outside of Detroit, 73% of workers voting in favor of unionizing. The criminal trial brought against former President Trump moving forward. A jury's been seated. Opening statement set for Monday. This is ABC News.
Brewers win in St. Louis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers in a weekend series against the Cardinals. Milwaukee with a 2-1 win last night, thanks to the game-winning RBI in the 10th by William Contreras. NBA, the Bucks held practice, getting ready for Sunday night's Game 1 against the Pacers in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard, dealing with some injuries, asked when will he return to practice?
I went today. Today was my first day doing live stuff. I was battling a few nagging things leading up to that last week, and we got the two wins that we really needed to get. And then going on that last road trip, I knew I wasn't going to play the OKC game. Then the Orlando game was like, we don't know how everything else is going to go, so, you know, let's give it a go. And then halfway through that game, we see Cleveland lost. Second quarter of that game, I kind of aggravated my Achilles. So after that, it was just like, we got a week to get right, to get ready, and that was kind of the focus.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny skies today. We'll have highs in the upper 40s. For tonight, frosty and clear with a low around 30. For Sunday, sunshine, a high near 60. Sunday night, clear skies, mid-30s. Chance of rain showers for Monday, breezy, 64.
Right now, it's 37.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-LakePoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Are you making plans to honor Mother Earth? April 22nd is Earth Day, and it's a Wisconsin idea. Our Senator Gaylord Nelson created the day in 1970. It was his way of pushing environmental issues onto the national agenda, and many demonstrated in support. It worked. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency formed by December of that year. And today, Nelson's daughter, Tia, continues her dad's efforts. The Earth Day theme this year focuses on the use of plastics. It includes a reminder of the goal for a 60% reduction in the production of plastics by 2040. If you want to find a cleanup or education event to help during Earth Day week, or anytime, check earthday.org. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The John and Gordy Show.
I have to say this. I had a nightmare where the clouds were actually rubber erasers.
What did you eat before you went to bed?
And this gets worse. There were clowns on stilts.
Oh, no. Seriously.
And obviously, I have never forgotten that dream.
Obviously.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We are back with me, your girl, and Kina on Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. It is Black History Month.
Hey.
I just don't know if y'all know that, but we celebrating Black History. making Black history everywhere we go. Just by being present, interacting, we are making Black history. Black history looks like being able to talk on a FM station about Blackness and white supremacy and not getting, tell to shut up
or say why can't we talk about white history.
Yeah, that is Black history, and I know some of our listeners will probably think that as they're listening to this, and they'll probably even say that to talk about white history would be racist, and you're absolutely right. Because to say, to even have to distinguish your history from other folks' history would make it racist. And because everything around you is your history, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to walk in the store, see you. You get to go to school and send your kids to school, and they're going to learn about people that look like them. They're going to learn from the perspective of whiteness, and they're going to learn how to be, how to be in their privilege. Whereas other folks, oftentimes, specifically the people I'm going to talk about is Black, oftentimes we have to figure out where we fit, how we fit, and how not to be, psychologically
tarnished
or bamboozled, psychologically
whitewashed.
And what we mean by that,
brainwashed,
right? And really brainwashed to hate ourselves. Because mm-hmm. what the thing that most white people don't understand is when you get to be in your environment that's about you, for you, and for your own good, it is empowering, right? And you ought to be empowered, but you should never be empowered, in lieu of other people's empowerment, right? So I think that's why when you talk about white history or try to, it's like, dude, everything you read is about you. So mm-hmm. when we celebrate and other cultures celebrate their cultures, traditions, and their history, it should be celebrated too, right? So when Asian folks celebrate or brown people say, let's celebrate them too, because you too matter. And in the context of America, whether we want to recognize it or not, everything built around you was probably built on the back of my ancestors, including this building mm-hmm. where all the capitalistic, racist, anti-Black, anti-brown bills, anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ bills pass right there mm-hmm. down State Street. So when I say in the building, we sit on State Street right across from the Overture Center. Don't come see me, though. Okay? Don't come see me. All right? But we sit there. So when we're looking down there, mm-hmm. that in itself is a symbol of Black history, because I can almost imagine who was building those walls inside, mm-hmm. those beautiful ceilings inside of the Capitol. I don't know his name, but I'm sure it was Uncle Juju in them.
Okay. Juju on the beat. And I want to make a call to action to anybody who's listening, who runs workshops or leads in spaces or holds any type of meetings or any type of space that gathers, that encourages people to gather. I want to call you to action and invite you and encourage you to, when you open up your meetings and you're holding spaces, that you make a labor acknowledgement. Because, I know a lot of people are familiar with the land acknowledgement. I personally like to open up my workshops and speeches with the land and a labor acknowledgement, where we acknowledge the land that has been stolen. And we also acknowledge the labor that has been stolen, the sacrifices that were not asked to be sacrifices, that were imposed and forced, the sacrifices of talent and labor. All right. And lives suffering, literally labor. All right. And we need to acknowledge that that's what the country was built on, and nobody got paid for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's a really good idea. I think I'm going to start doing that too. The land acknowledgments often feel funny to me because, and this might be just me being me, because it's like we acknowledge the land being stolen, but at the same time, we don't acknowledge the people, history, and nationality that's been stolen from mm-hmm. the land. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and even the anti-Blackness in that. We don't need to get an analysis, because every time I talk about it, people say I'm erasing other people's history. And I don't want to erase people's history. I want people to know that the people that look like me were here before we called slavery, mm-hmm. right? Before we took people across the Atlantic, supposedly, and enslaved them. The folks that were on this land were blue-black folks, right? Mm-hmm. Blue-black. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, because they were blue-black, don't make them Black. Then what were they?
Right. Because everybody originated from
the woman,
the human,
the human, the human.
Okay, the dog.
The dog dogs. Okay. And out of the darkness was light.
Okay, say that.
Okay, we went to the left. Okay, anyway, so today we want to acknowledge today in Black History. Let's acknowledge in 1894, today, February 8th, Congress repeals the Enforcement Act, which was making it easy for some states to disenfranchise Black voters. So let's celebrate that. They repealed it, which probably meant nothing at the time, because a lot of time laws are repealed, or like when folks were emancipated, right? Slavery ended. It actually didn't end. It just kind of kept going, which is also why people known as Black who are aware of the history don't celebrate July 4th. Mm-hmm. And Keena, you want to break it down why we might not celebrate July 4th?
Well, we don't celebrate July 4th in my household.
We don't either.
Okay. We don't celebrate the 4th of July because the 4th of July was not free. We don't celebrate the 4th of July. We don't do I pledge allegiance to the flag.
No, we don't do that.
Or the national anthem.
And
because
none of those
celebrations apply to us. Our people, our ancestors were still enslaved in that time. And as a matter of fact, the slave masters, or the people who, you know, had the power, purposely withheld that information, mm-hmm. you know, as long as they could under the radar. So mm-hmm. July 4th, we were still being sold as property.
Yeah, so July 4th represents the emancipation of white people from Britain.
When this country, became independent.
Right.
But not when our people were free.
Right.
So, you know.
But what's up with Black people who, like, put on, you know what I'd be irritated with? Look, Black people, you know what I'm saying?
But our people.
I'm going to get, look.
Probably heavily fund our dollars fund the 4th of July the most.
Yes, it do, because we be so excited about 4th of July. Black folks be putting on a whole costume from head to toe. Their gear, they have the shoes on. They might even paint customized gym shoes, Jordans, a whole fit, a hat. So we're going to encourage you in 2024 as we expand our knowledge and awareness of self and our history to stop doing that, Black
Please.
People. Okay, just stop
Please. It is a participation in capitalism. Like, we literally fund all of these holidays and the celebrations. Our dollars fund it, and so because we pay for it, it creates the demand for it to continue on. If we don't pay to fund these things, and don't be saying nothing like, oh well, we just love these celebrations, like Thanksgiving, we be turning up on Thanksgiving.
Okay, wait, I do be turning up.
I know
on Thanksgiving.
You said that was your favorite. But, like, listen.
Were you a hypocrite? Now, look,
I'm not saying that.
No, I'm saying that.
I just want people to be mindful and understand that our dollars creates the demand for these to keep going. We can literally create other things to celebrate.
And I think it's so hard, too, because I'm judging people for 4th of July, and I am judging you, by the way. But I'm also, with Thanksgiving, I've created this, like, this is just a family day, you know? And I think that's what people known as Black often do, is like, y'all tripping, you know? It's just
I
want to
change the
day.
I want it to be on a different day, though.
Yeah, I get that.
Because I don't like that Martin Luther King Day or whatever, Columbus Day was turned into something else.
What was it turned into?
Something like Indigenous something.
Oh, Indigenous People's Day.
Indigenous People's Day. I don't want the day.
Who celebrates that?
Dane County just passed a resolution last week.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't want it to be on that day.
We'd be doing some crazy stuff, but Juneteenth happens, right? Juneteenth, and white folks in our community get up by the Capitol and raise the Juneteenth flag. That ain't even the Juneteenth flag. The Juneteenth flag that they raise is a flag created by white people who said this is the Juneteenth flag. Now, why you ain't raising the RBG flag?
Raise
the RBG flag. So all my white folks and all my Black people, because this is why the Black bourgeoisies and elders hate me too, because I say things like this and they be like, we work very hard to get that flag up there. Well, just get the right one,
Get the RBG.
Black History has a meaning. 2024, I want to see the RBG flag, the red, black, and green. I want to see it flying over the Capitol. Y'all fly that LGBTQIA flag. Go ahead and put the RBG. I want equity, and I want it to represent, and I want people to ask the question, what does that stand for? Black stands for the color of our skin, red for the blood shed, and green for the earth and the land, right? That's what it stands for, and it's a flag that was created in our quest for Pan-Africanism, connecting people worldwide, and the folks that's lost in the struggle. Lost because enslavement, trafficking our bodies, and all of that stuff. That's the flag that should be raised.
Yes.
And I remember having a conversation with our sheriff, because he was part of that. And I was
remember
so,
that.
Because he also raised
when you
it
went live
the,
about
what?
It.
Yeah. What? Yeah. I was so mad. Y'all know I get emotional. So happy.
I didn't know until you went live about it.
What?
Yeah.
When I saw that girl, and he was waving on top of the freaking jail.
Above the slaves.
And then, and I get his point. So this is the thing, y'all. As Black people for Black History, shout out to our Black sheriff, okay? Because that is my boy. I love you. You got my, I got mad
just
respect for you.
Do it different.
And I don't like it, right?
Do it different. Like, part of loving somebody is also being like, listen, now you could have did that different. Let's talk about this. That is love.
And can we talk about in Blackness and Black Matters and Black Dane County, can we stop going along to get along just because it look good? Y'all just be want to take photos and pictures and be like, look what we've done. No. Okay, see, this is why I don't need no talk show. I'm about to
no,
go home.
Okay,
no, I'm about to go home because this is why I don't post on Facebook no more. Y'all think my opinion changed. It ain't changed. I practice shutting the heck up.
Look, me too. High five, Brandy.
I practice shutting the heck up. But okay, y'all got me fired up because it's Black History. So I'm going to give myself a pass today and probably the rest of February. Then I'm going to go back and shut up. But out. Just shout out to my people who stand in front of that jail raising that Juneteenth flag. Stop it. You know what jail represents for us? Enslavement.
Slavery.
Right? Inhumane treatment of our people. And I don't care if our sheriff changed the name from inmate to resident. It still is a cage. And it's inhumane. And these people treat our people like crap. You know how many calls I get with people being beat in our county jail? Hurt. Not given the medicines they need and assistance. People have mental wellness issues. You know what we do in Dane County and throughout the United States? We lock them up mm-hmm. in a cage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we wave a flag. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some kind of...
That was the workaround. Once it was illegal to enslave our people,
The
slave catchers became the police.
Oh, girl, right. And then when we want to talk about it, Then y'all like, you just be, we got to have Black people inside systems and we got to have representation. Yes, we do. And you know what also we need? We need people known as Black and our white comrades and co-conspirators to have an appropriate analysis. Because y'all, now I'm talking too much. I'm getting too emotional around here. I find that even with me, founder of Urban Triage, we run millions of dollars through our organization, allocating millions of dollars to our community, employing probably the most Black people in the nonprofit area in Dane County. I'm a shout out to Urban
Say
Triage
that.
Again, making history.
Say that again.
And y'all don't even acknowledge that.
But employing Black people.
Employing us and employing us in safe environments where people feel safe. And not only that, they grow, right? Because we serve the people, we employ the people we serve. But before I go too left, my point is that it's having representation isn't enough. We need people who actually have analysis, because it appears to me in the years that I've been doing this work for Urban Triage, that people who have caused the most harm to other Black people and to our organization as we try and attempt to do the work are Black people. Who don't have analysis, and they get a little power and they become gatekeepers and they harm people that we're serving because they're trying to harm us by holding power or being like, I'm powerful and you have to listen to me. And I have contract holders that switch from being white to brown or Black, and y'all just be tripping. Like, my white people be sometimes more like just cool. Like, they help us with things, they talk through things, and then some of us get power and we be trying to go left because we don't have analysis. And you in those systems where systems try to make you prove mm-hmm. your loyalty to the system mm-hmm. and who gets the backlash? Mm-hmm. The Black people y'all work with, but I ain't gonna talk about that.
And I think that a lot of that comes from the disconnect that happens when people rise higher up. Mm-hmm. I feel like they get more disconnected from the community that they're serving. I sincerely think that that is where a lot of that comes from.
Oh, you might. You're right. Because I have people say to me, like, I always feel like people that are supposed to be serving us become unreachable, right? If I hit them on Facebook or I see them in the street, they like get attitude. And I can name a couple of y'all Black people who be standing in these pictures acting sideways. But I don't do that no more because I'm going to focus on the work. But some of y'all really need to go to Jesus. I mean, I don't care if you go to white Jesus, brown Jesus, the Asian Jesus. You need to take yourself to Jesus, because the way y'all out here acting over a little bit of power is insane to me. So anyway, in Black History, Brandy done spoke out. I try not to talk about things like that. So mark this day on February 8th where Brandy said, okay, today we just gonna let it slide and I'm gonna talk about y'all. But out of respect and love for the people who are offended, y'all know I love y'all and I'm still gonna smile at y'all face. And y'all get mad, just tell me, like, you hurt my feelings and we can work through it. Okay, amen. So again, you listen to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We'll be back in a jiff. But you have to understand,
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show. From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Busted pencils.
We'll keep talking about it because it is an important thing happening in our world and in our culture, whether you're in education or in any field. It's part of your day-to-day right now. Like, hey, what's the role AI is going to play in this?
We give every assignment the kids turn in, we put it through AI detectors. There's no ability for a student to opt out of the surveillance.
Busted pencils, weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, y'all, you back listening to your girl Brandy and Keena on the Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM. I kind of went left there. Keena said I went high. I might have went.
Might have went somewhere. Okay.
But I came back.
She went into the depths of her soul, okay?
I did. I got triggered. I was like, wait a minute. And they flew the flag. I think it was the flag.
The flag. It was something.
That flag took me back 2 years.
I remember that day. I was, my mouth was open. My mouth dropped when I watched that live, okay?
And then all the black people who stood around it and clapping, I was like, this is the sunken place. Why are we so sunken? Can we please get out? Somebody hit the teacup.
That's what she said. Get out.
Somebody hit the damn teacup.
I was like, I need to get out. I'm about to go down to Park Street, but I need to get out of Wisconsin.
Right
now. Oh, my God.
Right now, okay? So, anyway, back. We're coming back. We back. Okay. In black history, we want to recognize today Jay-Z.
Jay-Z Basquiat.
Basquiat. So Jay-Z won a Grammy. He won, he was accepting his Grammy for the Dr. Dre Global Impact Award. And congratulations to you, Jay-Z, for making
it. Congratulations.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that Impact Award is, but that's kind of dope that they got a Grammy named after Dr. Dre. And if you don't know who Dr. Dre is, you better know who he is. I mean, and let's just acknowledge Dr. Dre was a great producer, rap artist, entertainer, but he sucked as a man. He really was abusive, like a lot of people are. Like, you can suck, you can be sucky in one area of your life and great in the other, right?
That's right.
Right, because like
complex.
Complex, right? Just complex. So we're going to honor Dr. Dre for that piece, but not for his abusiveness, okay, Dr. Dre? But anyway, back to Jay-Z. So in the Grammys, what did Jay-Z say? Can we play that clip by Jay-Z? What did he say again? Because I don't know. Let Nate play it. I don't know on Facebook if y'all can hear it, but maybe you can because I got my headphones flipped. But let's take a look and listen.
Subjective because, you know, it's music and it's opinion-based. But, you know, some things, you know, I don't want to embarrass this young lady, but she has more Grammys than everyone and never won Album of the Year.
Ooh.
So even by your own metrics, that doesn't work.
He said, even by your own metrics, that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And he was basically taking up for his wife, as he should. Mm-hmm. Beyonce Bae, you know, loved by most black women and gay men across the globe, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, and white women too. We all love Bae, okay?
Yes.
Do we not? So
the queen.
The queen. And she is so dope. So anyway, I got to the left again. So in black history, we're going to represent Bae and also acknowledge Jay-Z for standing up for his wife. And he basically like, look, she done run more Grammys than anybody in this room, as she should. Mm-hmm. And she has yet to win Album of the Year. Mm-hmm. Do we know who won Album of the Year for 2024? I know Killer Mike won Album of the Year for Rap Artist or Rap.
Best Rap Song, Best Rap Performance, and Best Rap Album.
Oh, that's right. Killer Mike won 3 Grammys. And that was historical because who would knew?
Oh,
right?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, why wouldn't Taylor Swift? People love. Why do they love this white lady so much?
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Have like, you listened to her album?
She has a couple. I haven't listened to this.
Is she like Madonna
she
quality?
She got a few songs I like off some of her old songs.
Huh.
But I have not even listened to this album. Haven't listened to the Eras Tour set list. I just haven't. I don't have any beef with Taylor, but I just don't think that
that
was the. I don't think that that was the right call to name her the winner.
Yeah. Who was in a category? It was Taylor Swift, Beyonce. Who else?
Let me see here. I'm trying to look here. So this one, Album of the Year, Beyonce wasn't even on.
Oh, she wasn't even nominated. List. Oh, that's crazy.
And if I recall reading something, I think that they said they didn't even bother nominating her because of some, there was some, I don't know, I read something about that.
They just mad because she be high.
So the only black, two people that was on the list for Album of the Year was SZA for SOS.
Oh, I love SZA.
And The Age of Pleasure by Janelle Monáe.
Oh, did they win an award? Did SZA win?
Did SZA win any awards?
I don't know, but while you looked that
Victoria Monáe won that one award.
Oh, I love Victoria Monáe. If y'all don't know.
SZA won Snooze for Best R&B Song.
Oh, okay. SZA, we see you, but who cares? Because these like white folks' opinion about our music. But
is she won over Victoria Monáe and Coco Jones?
That don't sound right, because Victoria Monáe definitely should have won. And if y'all don't recognize, when I start my show on Black Conversion, we start with Victoria.
On my mama.
On my hood. Yes.
This whole R&B song, Halle Bailey, Robert Glasper, featuring Sir and Alex Isaac, they were all the nominees for that Best R&B song.
Oh, that's crazy. Wait, and Taylor Swift won R&B? No,
she better not have. I know something's up them.
Can we talk about Killer Mike being arrested at the Grammys?
Lord, he got out, though.
He got out, but what happened? Like, they're not even releasing any information. I haven't seen any videos.
They said it was a connection to an altercation that happened nearby.
Girl, he won 3 Grammys. How could you get arrested nearby the Grammys? After he didn't made history, this is crazy, but this is what I'm saying. So you guys, at the beginning of the top of the show, we were talking about, like, we had mentioned some stuff that was happening in Mississippi, and then it brought us to this other situation in Colorado where a black woman just won $1.9 million in a lawsuit against the police because they pulled her over, drew guns on her and her children. Supposedly the car was stolen. And I'm sitting talking to Keena, and I was like, and Keena was like, that happened to me. And I was like, that happened to me too. And I just want to point out, all in Madison, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that brings me to, like, how this black man can make history and mm-hmm. have one of the greatest days of his life and then get arrested, right? So
it's just... get arrested and then released the same night on a $0 bail.
So,
and charged with a misdemeanor. So it's like, was this just a stunt?
Right. Because wanted to take his glory and shrink him and remind him of who he is and where he stands.
Who's the boss?
Who the boss? And that's the thing about systems. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been as a ED of an organization that's unapologetically black and centering black, people often try to put me in my place.
I believe. Look, what? You said they tried to do it with Beyonce too.
What? Right, Beyonce.
Queen Mother.
They sure do. Like, Beyonce was like, I be telling these production people what to
do. Find a way.
And they'd be like, well, we can't. And that's just how they be doing me. And I just be looking at them like, y'all,
like, really?
Or they come for your life. Like, so I'm in a meeting. We have a opportunity. I'm not even going to talk about too much because that's the thing. Like, you can't even say what you need to say because I'm playing politics at the same time. And if black people are honest when you're playing politics, you can't even be authentically you. That's why I just shut up. So I just go home, mind my business, talk crap to the people I trust and love that ain't going to go and just talk sideways about me. But at the end of the day, I be wanting to say all kind of stuff. Like, this stuff be foul and it be smelling like rat poop mixed with some manure and some rural poo-poo and vomit and sewage. Smelling like Monona off Southtown. Ooh, that's what politics in Madison look like. Anyway, you know, time is out for us. I hyped up at the end. And next week I might do better, but we still in the month of February, so we still going to be talking about black history. So I might come hard again. So...
depends on what the ancestors say.
Right, it is what the ancestors say. But I ain't sorry, okay? But you're tuned in to 92.7 FM, your girl, Brandy and Keena on the Black Conversion Show. You'll catch us the same time, same place, next week on WMDX. Peace, love, and hair grease.
Bye, y'all.
State Street or hanging out on the lakes. Thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Listening to Mad Radio, WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.